Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
Welcome to the American Legion Show. This is Kevin White speaking, and tonight we're going to have two great groups with us, actually three. So I see Jesse just got on. Welcome, Jesse. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk to the Lexit and the Blexit group primarily, and we have Jesse Hoagland. Hoagland, I don't know if I pronounced that right, but... All right. Okay. With us, and Michelle, is Michelle on yet? Are you here?
I'm here.
Okay. I need you to go ahead and dial in to the studio so we can talk on the radio show.
I'm on my phone on the Zoom.
Oh, are you? Okay.
But, Sophia, did you dial in?
No, I'm on the phone.
Is anybody not on the phone?
Right?
Okay. All right.
Ken and Karen can dial in, the 2Ks.
The 2Ks? That sounds good. And
I'll dial in.
If you could dial in, that'd be great.
Thanks, Ken.
And same with, let's see, Michael, if you could dial in as well. I don't know if you can do that.
I'm on my phone as well.
Okay. And that's okay. Is Christina, can you dial? Are you on your phone?
Yeah, I am.
That's all right. It might be able to pick it up. I don't know if you can. They can pick it up from the studio if it's loud enough. If I make this louder, so we might be good. So I wouldn't worry about it. So if you guys talk loud, it'd be perfect.
Hello. What's up, guys?
What's up, Jesse?
My brother, Jesse.
What's up, brother?
You need to come speak at our new club.
Yeah. Let me know. To Miami Martins?
Absolutely. Part of our
All right. Tell him to get at me. Let me know when, whatever.
Thank you.
Right, so what I want to do, I want to introduce you guys as the leaders of each group. So I invited you first, Michelle, so tell us about yourself and what your program is about so that the audience knows what we're up against.
Well, I founded the group Jexit, which represents the Jews as the Democrat Party. In 2018, a group of us Jewish women were very part of exposing the voter fraud as a supervisor of elections in Broward County. And just about after that debacle, we were responsible for electing our great governor during the recount. And we felt so empowered that we took a group and we stood on Capitol Hill to call out the squad for their anti-Semitism and their rhetoric against Israel, so on and so forth. And from that, we got like a 500,000 hits from Breitbart. They filmed the whole thing. We had tremendous support. People wanted to get involved. We were empowering other people to stand up and to speak out, lead the Democrat Party. And one thing led to another, and we began a national movement. And what's great about it is that all of our minorities, our Blexit and our Lexit and Jexit, they want division. They want to come between us, and we've united. And with us uniting, it's a tremendous threat. Again, it's a triple threat. So they try to exploit all of our communities, and we are going against the grain. I'm very honored to be a part of this meeting tonight, and I really respect all the work everybody is doing, and we have to stay united because our Judeo-Christian worldview is at stake here. And Marxism, they want to remove God from the public square. And Lexit, Blexit, and Jexit, we stand on the principles of God, family, and country.
and we will never allow that under our watch.
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome. And that's so true. And, you know, as you know, the Blexit program is in the same boat. It's like there's a stranglehold on our people with the Democrat Party, and they don't understand. I mean, this is just what we do. So thank you very much. Okay, next. Michael, could you talk about our program? It could be you and Christina or either one. Oh, Michael, you're the official leader of Ohio. So congratulations.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. So basically, I'm just state director of a national nonprofit, which is Blexit. When we have five pillars, one is advocating for criminal justice reform. One is teaching kids a proper history that sets them up for success in the future. We also host live events. We advocate for school choice. Basically, we advocate for things that we feel will progress the minority youth, unlike what the left is doing today, which I feel like is regressing our youth. So, in a nutshell.
All right. You have anything to say, Christina? Since actually, I just want to explain, Christina was the leader of the group until Michael took over. I know she's got a lot going on. So if you have anything to say, you're running this, I understand, on your own for a while there. Is that true?
Yes. Well, I'm sorry. Could you repeat that? My sound went out a bit.
Were you running the Blexit program in Ohio pretty much alone?
Yes. For a while, I was a bit rough, but it's definitely getting better. Great team. But, yeah, I agree with, obviously, everything Michael said. I think a big part for us is really just breaking down that idea that every single ounce of our identity has to come from these unchangeable factors of being Black, right?
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, the color of your skin. And I just feel like if that is one difference we take, that will go a long way in changing the outcome for black community, because really that's what it comes down to, right, is you feel like you basically can't be anything outside of this very stringent box that culturally we've been placed in. So, and I think through school choice, especially like school choice and entrepreneurship, and just breaking that government dependency that has taken such a strong hold, we'll really be able to do that.
Absolutely. And I just want to say this real quick. That Christiana was white for the longest time because they're like talking to the phone. And people do that with me all the time too. So we stereotype and we assume that we're not who we are because that's how bad things are. And if you are a Black conservative, you're pretty much an outcast. And it's terrible, it's awful because you're not doing what you're expected to do. And that's just the Black community getting back at us. So I want to go to our guest of honor, Jesse. Thank you so much for coming on. And can you explain what your election program is about? You guys are on fire all the time, just like Jesse is. So.
You know us, man. We're riders. We're always doing up to something over here. But, I'm the founder of Lexit, the Lexit Movement, the Latino Exit from the Democrat Party. And we're just trying to wake up Latinos because we know that the Democrats, they just try to basically manipulate minorities for votes, Blacks and Latinos. They try to make everything about race, they focus everything race, because they don't want to talk about we're pro-life, you know what I mean? We love God, we love our country, you know what I mean? We're pro-Second Amendment, we're against socialism, you know what I mean? We're lower taxes. We go down the list, like most Latinos are conservative, but they just don't know it, and Blacks, you know what I mean? We all have a love for God, you know what I mean? We all have a love for our country, but I said they just manipulate. Race is a big part of it, so we're just trying to push back, and we feel better to anybody can be with Lexus, like you guys and all that too, but we just feel better to these Latinos and fellow Latinos.
So we're all in the same, you know, thing, the same, on the same team, the same fight. Like they say in the military, one team, one fight. That's what we are. Divided by the people we identify with, we can communicate with, and who will listen and see what we're doing and see what we're about. Because, you know, I have relatives that are conservative, but you wouldn't know it because they're undercover. I mean, they're not with the Democrat Party. I mean, that's one of the things about it. I mean, we get ridiculed a lot, you know, for being what we are, or believing what we are, believing what we do. So it's not an easy thing, but I like how bold you guys are. You guys are punching it every time, and you're proud of it, and I love that. I see all your posts and everything. It's, like, amazing what you guys are doing. And the movement down in Florida. Yeah, California style, out in Cali, right?
Everybody, like, who don't know my past, I used to be an ex-gang member.
Right.
Or whatever.
Right.
So I used to go hard for that, so now I go hard for this, and then I go hard for the Lord now.
That's right. That's right. You are a strong Christian. I appreciate that. And there's another dimension there for that, you know, and that's what that's all about. Because the other side, in my opinion, is against Christianity. Just like these shots they're asking about getting, and they want to, you have to prove that you're a Christian with the church and another document or something. That's not how it's supposed to work. Our Constitution says it's my belief, not what somebody else thinks. You can't put that on the Pope or anybody.
Bro, because I was a Democrat. That's probably some a lot of you guys here. I was a lifelong Democrat, Mexican over here in LA. But as a Christian, as I started going to my faith, I could no longer support that party. I don't know how anybody a Christian and support that party.
Jesse, if Jews and Christians would unite, we could defeat Satan like that.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Something. We have a triple threat here tonight. Marie is a minority dream. She's black, Jewish, and a woman.
Uh-oh. We can't fight that one.
And the greatest story of all is that she spoke on Capitol Hill with us, and she shared that she had, let her tell you herself because her story is incredible. She's
sure.
Had more dealing with anti-Semitism that she's had racism, if you can believe
it. Oh, wow.
And she's Jewish.
Right. That's incredible.
It's incredible.
I'm so sorry for you, my sister. Keep fighting the fight, you know. I know how it is. The first thing people see you is black until you start talking about the Jexit movement. So I know what that's like. I'm the black expert, even though, you know, my book is Growing Up White, and Oreo's Guide to Fitting In because I'm Oreo. And I wrote a book because it frustrated me my entire life. So this is, I understand how people who don't conform are, you know, how they live. That's why I wrote the book. But, yeah, I know, identity. People are primitive. What they see in front of them is what they think, and that's how they act. And that's just what the politicians do, especially the Democrats. Democrats are the worst on that. They're tannery and everything. It drives me crazy that we have to live like that. We can't just be Americans. I served in the military for 30 years, and I'm not just an American. I'm a black person first. And that's what we see on TV now. There's black people everywhere that work in his work before. Like Jake from State Farm, what happened there? Now he goes and does other things that are related to insurance. Like, come on. So anyway, I'm off my box now. So let's get back into what do you guys do? Here's what we need from you as the Blexit in Ohio. We need ideas from you and things that you guys do that work, or outreaches and things like that. And what kind of things do you regularly do every month, like a typical month or week, something like that? Since you guys are the, you know, the bosses and everything, the people that run these programs, just curious to pick your brain a little bit. I think this would be good for us.
Who are you asking?
Both of you. Lexit and Jexit. So you can go first.
Well, we push hard, like on social media the most. We
okay.
push hard, constantly putting anything up, exposing the Democrats, fake media, and all that. Just we will expose rhinos. For opportunity, so if there's a rhino, we'll hit them too, call them out too. But right now we're really focused on the mandates, especially over here where I'm at in California. They're hitting us bad. Like, we can't even, starting on the 4th, we won't even be able to go into movie theaters anywhere without. So we're having a lot of rallies out here. We're pushing, like, every week we're doing rallies out here. So that's what we're really focused on right now. And then we've been starting up our chapters. Our chapters are going all over, too, there. We're pushing hard against the mandates right now. That's
mm-hmm.
like the main focus. And then we got to focus on the elections coming up, too. But right now we're just focused on the vaccine mandate.
Absolutely. So my job is at stake, by the way, for the vaccines. I'm a contractor. And that's a big deal. I mean, that's going to affect, and, you know, I'm not going to get it. I can just retire again. That's my luxury. So these rallies you talk about, are they just ones you make up, or are they ones that exist and you attend?
We make some of them our own, or
okay.
We team up with other organizations.
Awesome.
And like, I was just out here the other day with firefighters. There's a bunch of the firefighters, like I forgot how many, a couple hundred firefighters got fired over here, getting fired over here
mm-hmm.
in Cali. So I stood with all the firefighters mm-hmm. out there. But it was a trip. I was like, man, when I spoke, I said, man, have you ever thought you'd see something like this where firefighters, officers, nurses, and all that were getting fired? Like, this is like crazy times we're in.
Yeah, these are the best people we have. I mean, they're front line, and we're treating them like dirt right now, and nobody cares. It's not even legal. Like I said before, the president can't make laws, okay? And everybody knows that, and they're just ignoring it, just going right ahead with it and steamrolling us into this, into these debts and into these jobless. Just imagine, what, a few months from now, people are going to be out of their homes. Or that, you know, they're going to be able to afford
it. I can tell you, people that are having the vax, right? Like, if they have the vax, I tell you, you should still be against it because what if they're on, like, the third booster now, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So every year they're going to have us get another one. So even maybe you're not against it right now, but maybe after the fourth dose, you're
right.
Like, oh, I don't want no more.
Exactly.
So you need to speak up for us now because at some point, the fourth, fifth, sixth dose, you're not going to want it, and then it's going to be too late. So they need to stand up now with us.
It's the point of mandating something that, you know, is our body.
Exactly.
You know, the bottom line. And it seems as though in forces, in groups, in numbers, there are, you know, there's a good effect. I mean, the nurses got, you know, reinstated in New York, and I believe also some officers, I can't remember exactly where, but, you know, and when...
There were some 50, they say some 50,000
electric,
in Brooklyn.
These people are walking out. If they rally together, if there's enough people, it works. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, another thing, too, is that the fake media and the left, they're trying to make it as it's like a right-wing extremists and all like that who's against the blacks. But the most ones that are against blacks, his highest rate is blacks, and minorities are the main ones not getting the jab,
right.
But yet they're trying to make it about race or the
right.
Well, he's
the minorities
are not for it.
Let's call it what it is. It is medical totalitarianism, but basically we're in a back, good versus evil, and this is a spiritual battle for the soul of our nation and for all of our souls.
Yeah.
So really, it's about returning to God. I mean, that's what it's about, and healing our land.
We can see, we can see it coming.
Vaccines are blood pollution to begin with, but we're not even talking about the vaccine. We're talking about something experimental that forces your body to produce something that is not in your DNA.
Yeah.
It actually programs your DNA. I mean, you could probably grow a tail, too. It's as evil as it gets.
It got exposed by Project Veritas that has baby parts in there, but they could just, you know what I mean? So how could they even, goes against our religious rights too. We don't want that for our religious rights.
We have natural immunity. They're discounts. I have COVID. I have antibodies. Why can't that's the best form of protection there is. My God-given immune system.
Same here, but they don't accept it. It's not an option.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's no sense. You want to talk about science? Where's the science in that?
The X is a dollar sign.
Yes.
That's right.
Did you know that all the directors of the FDA end up at those three or four, what do you call them, institutions that produce these medicines? They are part of it. It's all one thing. So they're working together. Welcome aboard.
I was here, but I was just on my phone. So now I'm on my computer.
Yay.
Awesome. So, Michelle, could you tell us some events that you do regularly?
Sure. You know what? Let me defer to Sophia. Give her a
Okay. Sure.
because we, the girls, started a new club, an America First Patriots Club, so that we could appeal to Biden buyer's remorse citizens as well as independents. And we wanted to try to find what unites us versus what divides us. So we have a bunch of great meeting. In fact, we spoke to Tom Helvig. So I want to let Sophia talk a little bit about what Jessica does and in conjunction with America First Patriots. And all, we don't really have to know in our vocabulary, so if you guys ask us to do something, we'll do it.
All right.
We're out there, like Michelle said, we met behind the supervisor of elections when they were trying to steal the election from DeSantis. And we were very, very active in that, but we haven't stopped being active ever since. We'll do anything from exposing anti-Semitism among the school board. We went and we testified for the Palm Beach School Board when they were rehiring a principal for Spanish River High, who actually denied the Holocaust. We went ahead and we put on rallies to defend students in Boca Raton who were having swastikas painted on their desks. You know, the school wasn't doing anything about it. We had, you know, Rally for Freedom, where we all, you know, we got together and about 600 people showed up, and we had great speakers, and, you know, it was a rally for the country. And so we're doing all these activities. We're exposing anti-Semitism. We also are bringing patriots together. In Broward right now, we started the America First Patriots Club, and we meet every Tuesday of the month, and we have great speakers, except this month, in November, we're going to have Katie Hopkins and Laura Loomer, and they're going to come. They're the most censored women in the world, and they're going to come and speak for us. And we also, we don't just have speakers. We do voter registration. We do committee men and committee women registration. I became committee woman for my neighborhood. I think people are want solutions at this point, and we're giving them solutions, something very important for the people who are watching. The Democrat Socialists of America have put the word out that they're doing Alinsky-style infiltration from the bottom. So what they're doing right now is they're taking over the library board, okay? And that's where, first of all, where they have drag queen hour reading to the children. That's where they're putting on display all the socialist books. If you go into a library now, I think I just saw a picture this afternoon of what's going on at the Palm Beach Library, where all they have is books about, you know, white privilege and, you know, all these you know, critical race theory. And all these things are being put out by the library board, because the library boards are being infiltrated by socialists. And so if someone, if you know people who want to get involved and they don't know what to do, they don't want to walk the neighborhood, they don't want to make money, they don't really know, they don't have a lot of time, maybe they have time to get onto the library board and make a difference there. So that's a very important point, also the school boards. So we're giving people solutions. We're telling, we recruit candidates. We have a committee that I can refer them to where they're actually get trained to run for office. So if you know people who want to run for office in the area, send them to me. I know where to send them to learn how to basically run for office or anything from school board to city councils, locally, nationally. So we're taking care of that. So we really are getting involved and pulling our weight and doing everything we can. We're fighting on all fronts, all fronts.
Awesome.
By the way, Sophia Gled-Rafia, she knows firsthand what communism is. Yeah. I lived in communism. I was born in a communist dictatorship, but they called themselves the Socialist Republic of Romania because communists never want to be called communists. They want to be called progressive, populist, and socialist, right? So this way they can, you know, they can do their deeds a little better. But, yeah, I fled, my family and I fled communist Romania when I was 11 years old. I got to live through shortages, toilet paper shortages, and censorship, and, hey, everything that we're seeing today in America. So it's really hard for me because I came here for the American dream, in America, as possible as possible, and has been done before. And here I am, fighting for America against Americans who think that they want socialism. They think they want socialism. They don't. They don't know what socialism is. But, you know, so we have to give them the right kind of arguments. We have to speak with them. You know, they'll say things like, well, Social Security is socialism, and that's where they're like, no, it's not. And look how badly that program is ran. So now we want to do everything with that. We got to approach them with logical arguments
and most of all, offer a platform for the people who already saw the light. You know, they know where to go. We're here for them.
Right. That's awesome. You guys are, I like that, that you both do the rallies and everything. We're kind of getting started, getting our wheels going here in Ohio. So these are great ideas. There's a lot of things going on, like the school boards. I totally agree. And like when I went to the Fight Back thing down in Florida, then in Naples, opened my eyes to where people are putting pornography in the schools, in the books, in the kids' books. It's amazing. You know, and they're not telling the parents about it. So I agree with everybody who gets upset. If my kid was in school, I'd do the same thing. And the problem is, like all these other places, no, they're going to make it a crime for you to complain to the school board. So people are going to take their kids out.
Right. We have a little saying that the manga fair revolution is going to channel the spirit of Esther and take back this country, because the women are not going to stand for it. Mothers are not
Fathers are now getting involved. They have woken up the parents, and that plays for in our favor, big time. Virginia.
Kevin,
I have a quick question. Which chapters of Blixen are in here?
This is just chapter, the Ohio chapter. These are the Ohio leaders.
You guys are all from Ohio.
Yes, sir, and. We wanted to talk to you guys about how you guys do things and work from you and keep this relationship going so that, I mean, we have to work together eventually. We're going to be together. We're going to do all this stuff because we have the same goal. And we want to make ourselves stronger because I know you guys, both of you guys, your groups are awesome. You do it all the time. So you guys are perfect examples of, you know, what we can do or the potential we have to do them and the leadership.
Have contact with
Pierre? No, we don't. I know you do, but we wanted to keep this kind of low key for right now and pick your brains and everything and learn from you guys. Is that right, Christina?
The Democrat Party exploited the relationship of the Jews and the Blacks with Democrats. You need to talk to that, speak to that, because it's the Democrat Party that drives the wedge between us as minorities, and we can stop it right here, right now, unifying.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, they drive the wedge between us, and people don't realize the Democrat Party depends upon Black votes, and they depend upon Jewish money. We found out 25% of the DNC's budget are Jewish films. So if it wasn't for the Black vote, if it wasn't for the Jewish vote, we would really not have a DNC right now. So it's very good of that focus group to come together, work together, and we've got, you know, I call it, we're the new American revivalists. We're the ones who are going to bring America back to
what we
are. Yeah. Right, you know, and I think I wrote a paper for John DeLimmy, and it was about how the, BLM collected $10.6 billion, can you believe that, in 1 year? And all the money... Most of the money went to the DNC, went to places, and they only got, like, no Black person had any money. There's a big revolt between the chapters because these guys bought their mansions and everything. They're true Marxists, like they say they are. Not one Black man was helped. Oh, we're going to open up a library, or we're going to open up a bank, or you can borrow money. I mean, all that money is gone. The DNC took it. Yes, exactly. They told us up front. Yes. Yes. Yes, it is. Uh-huh. Look out for yourself. Your people will stab you in the back. Because, you know what, they're following somebody else. They're not even looking out for themselves. And it's the same with a lot of these groups. Because they're leading you down the wrong road. And, you know, that's just how they are. I mean, they can't do anything else. Just like the Marxists are Marxists no matter what, and just like the Democrats are Marxists themselves. They're going to have their own towers and, you know, all the bribes from Wall Street and everything, and they're going to continue on. They don't care about us.
Well, look at Joe Biden. He is taxpayer-funded a wall around his food cap. Yes, we can't put a wall at our southern border to protect America.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, in Rehoboth. He has a beach house in Rehoboth.
Delaware.
Are there any roaches in this pool you know of? I'm just kidding. That's his words, not mine. You know, that kind of stuff. That I read articles about that, and that stuff makes me angry. Who do you think you are talking about black kids as roaches? And then the black people vote for him. I don't get that. That would make me absolutely not vote for him. And also, can I say something? Is Trump is building that fence? This is Ken Friedman. Hi. I'm on mute.
Are catching on right now a lot more. And I don't think that he would have gotten in if we hadn't had all the ballot cheating and all the changing of the votes. And we all know how things went down. So that's how he's got it.
Right.
I think maybe that's what people voted for him. They just did not vote for Joe Biden.
I didn't realize I was on mute, but I'd like to just chime in with something.
Candidate. In like years, and still
off?
There's no way.
Even
that, he went up 8% with Latinos, too.
Right.
So, Ken, you got something to say, right?
Yeah, I just wanted to add something. I want to say hi to Kevin Heidi.
Yes. I just wanted to, say hi to everybody. I'm going to mostly take a back seat. Can you hear me okay? Yeah, I can hear you fine. Sound good.
Okay, good. It's back fine. So, my only point, nice to meet you all. It's a pleasure to be part of the listen. I think there's a ton in common between all of us. I mean, there's a huge commonality. And, of course, together, the best is the best. And I want to add that Trump filled up fence around the Beach House. It would have cost about maybe 40,000. Certainly not 475,000. You know, the guy goes around money like he does any flu, you know, and it's really, really scary to me what's going on and what they're doing. And, you know, and the fight against the vaccine is important, and it's freedom, and it's this, but it's like this week. And then, but then another story next week, and another story, and we move to the economy, we move to inflation. Somebody from Twitter says it's going to be hyperinflation. Well, of course it is. But there's just so many items. So I think it's important to try to keep an eye on that for them. And you know, move forward, and progress, and do things, and stay consistent. We really have
really
so
have
much
so
time
much.
All of
also, the war is going on right now. There's so much other stuff. There's so many other distractions going on, but the border, there's the hugest, biggest caravan ever coming right now.
You know, we had Tom Hellman recently in our there is enough fentanyl to kill every person in America 50 times over. We haven't even seen the effects of this, and the child trafficking is such crime against humanity that it makes me sick, so sick I can't even think about what's going on to the children, to the children, and drugs pouring in, and now the jihad coming in. That they say we could possibly have another 9/11 with what's coming into this country.
Exactly. Yeah.
How does it make sense to sell drugs to kill your country? I don't
understand.
Does anybody know?
They're
bringing in drugs to kill customers. It kills people that take it. Why wouldn't they have stuff that you get hooked on instead of killing you? Just a question.
Good point.
Good question.
They have those too. You know, my daughter's 20. The kids in college, she tells me all the time that they get the date rape drugs all the time. It's happening. The kids wake up, they don't know, you know, it's an epidemic. And, you know, the parents, we have to get involved. I would love to see everybody pull their kids out of school and not start out. A whole different education system. We have the power to do it if we just band together.
That's the key. Yes, that's the key.
That's the key to all of it.
Well, I think it's going to be very interesting and important now with the media that's coming up, the truth, with the media, the social media that Trump is bringing up. And I think we need to have more conservative media so that we can get our message out there. I think conservatives are starting to wake up, and we're in the front line. We're carrying the message. It's important that we keep going and keep being vocal and putting ourselves out there. It makes a difference. It really does. People who believe and who have the same belief system we do now realize they're not alone.
Absolutely. That's what we need.
Well, I think that when, you know, if we empower the Jews and hopefully Blexit empowers other blacks, they don't feel like they're alone. That's the whole, you know, that was part of our method in Jackson, is giving people a place, giving these Jews who so long just went along to get along on them. You know, there's the ones that are completely enmeshed. We're never going to get that. You know, we've just kind of, you know, given up on that. So, you know, we align ourselves with Christians, you know, with evangelicals, conservatives.
Right.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. And my question for the Jewish, are they mostly vaccinated, or is there an issue? Because you'll see, like Jesse mentioned before, the blacks and Latinos are very resistant to it. Well, they call it resistant. They can't make up their own mind. I mean, they're pushing this so hard. But, you know, oh, go ahead.
Everybody knows what the blacks can be resistant. But if you go to the CDC and look at the numbers based on race, guess which group, well, two groups are the least vaccinated and not going for it either? Blacks.
Right.
Nope.
Nope.
Native Americans and Asians.
Really? Wow.
Native American has been sitting at 6%
Whoa.
Since about April that I've been tracking. They will not get vaccinated. And Asian, they include with that Middle Eastern, Indian, and, of course, Asian. And Muslims.
Huh.
So these are the groups that are not getting vaccinated. And it makes me question, because Asians have usually the highest median education in this country and the highest median income.
Right.
They're usually the most educated, and usually they are the scientists and the doctors. So think about it, people.
They know.
Yeah, in the Jewish community, the more conservative and Orthodox, especially the Orthodox Jews, they resist.
No. No, unfortunately they're not, because the rabbis, I know here in Baltimore, the rabbis are pushing hard. We have all little groups.
The little ones, they're like one of their second groups.
Yeah, they are pushing hard.
Jews, the assimilation and complying is a thing that they got to fit in, right? And that's always been something historical with them. They just want to fly under the radar and be left alone and go with the flow, and unfortunately, that sometimes leads them right back into the fire.
I think many feel that if they go along, they won't be accused of spreading anything, or they're afraid that it will deter anti-Semitism. It will not deter anti-Semitism. I don't care what you do.
Exactly. And from history, Jews have been blamed for the economy and for the pandemic. It's the way it is. So American Jews, they don't care about Israel. They just want to assimilate, fly under the radar. They've lost their identity. And they just want to, you know, they become like social justice warriors and forgot about God. And it's just such a dichotomy. And we at Jested are trying to, you know, show them that they have to embrace the faith a little bit more. And they have to understand about their identity and the fact that anti-Semitism is never going away. It's like a game of whack-a-mole. Every generation is going to pop up, and somebody needs to be there to nip it in the bud and stop it for that generation. It's never going away, right?
Right.
So we are this generation's group of women and men that are going to stand against it and fight it.
Going back to talking about the vaccine and Jews, I live in a very Jewish in South Florida, in a very Jewish community. And, well, not even Jewish, but, you know, an older community. And I would say that even the conservatives in my community have gotten vaccinated because they've been brainwashed. They're afraid. They just, you know, my mother, who is 56 years old, plays Mahjong in Canasta, and she's like the only one, you know, who has, you know, all these, also conservative women. So it's very interesting. And in Israel, you know, they're more higher percentage as of anywhere. So,
yeah, they have to fight.
I got to go, guys, but it was nice meeting everybody.
Thank you so much, Jesse. I appreciate you being here. Thank you. Peace. That's what they say. That's what white people say. Peace.
get out of California.
Yes, please. Florida is the best state in the country right now, Florida, Texas. So I want to go to, let's see here. Is Michael still up? Michael, you still here?
Yeah, I'm still here.
So give us your take on this, your observance. Like, you guys live in Columbus. Are there a lot of blacks vaccinated there or not? Or just, I can't. It's hard for me to see in Dayton because most of my black friends are already vaccinated. But that's what the numbers are. I don't know if you have any friends that are not, refuse to get it or something. Or do you see that?
Gosh, so, first of all, Kevin, I want to thank you for organizing this. Because this is a great space, great energy, a lot of great ideas, a lot of magic. But I want to say it's split 50-50. There's a lot of people who look at you weird when you don't wear a mask or who push or ask why you haven't got vaccinated. Then there's another side that's scared, who's done research and can't really find an understanding for why it's being pushed the way it's being pushed. So I would say it's 50-50. Pretty aggressively on both ends.
Okay, I totally agree with you. I wrote down everything that everybody said, you know, the Lexit and Jexit. So we got a lot of things we can run with. We can try out and get with other groups. And like we started doing that, we're doing that a little bit, but we can go a little harder. We can always have Michelle and Jesse and everybody on this panel as, you know, a reference, which is the best thing. So I wanted to get everybody together to talk and get to know each other a little bit. So I think this is awesome. And any input, Christina, for that? Christiana?
So I would say I don't have, like, best insight. Maybe that's my whole process, what's going on with this. I will say that, like, amongst, like, my friend group, none of us want it. My family, though, seems to be very different. I only bring this up, how entrenched people have become in this is probably, like, besides the government pushing it, it's how easily manipulated I've seen everyone become. And this is just an example that I share to show how out of control this has gotten, and I spoke to you about earlier. You know, my brother had passed. He got pneumonia. He wasn't the healthiest guy in the world. He passed away to go. And my sister... reaction to that obviously was, thank God at least it wasn't so he didn't get a shot. Well, you know, he's dead. But
wow. Whoa.
Her concern, oh, well, he didn't get a COVID. That was COVID. I told her what I'm concerned with. It was simply, you know, it's like, I'm young. I don't want to take the shot, get the risk of being chronically ill and living with that. And she's like, oh, so actually insinuating that how we're being chronically ill with health would be better if I got, than if I didn't COVID, essentially. And in any other, I think we'd all say, wow, like, that's crazy. No one would ever be that out of their mind over it, but it scares me. I do think there's a lot of people out there that are French that they don't care. They do not care. Even if it means they have heart issues from it, they care because of COVID.
But here, it has a 99% recovery rate.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So that's just, I don't know how you go about reaching certain people. I don't know if you do reach the part where they're like, well, you know, essentially death is better than COVID. So that's
right.
The level that I've experienced with just my own family. So it's been interesting.
Sorry to hear that.
Yes. Yeah. So, thanks. Yeah, it's been rough. I've kind of been in a situation where now for about, I'd say 2 years, I haven't been allowed into the house because of it. So if I go home to visit, we have a nice little trailer in my go stay in there because she's scared to have me in the house. And so the message that I've just seen it take over, like, my mother, my family in general, it's just,
absolutely. I commend you for your bravery and your courage. You're amazing.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. I've just been telling people, like, I'm not getting it. And obviously, in the position that Kevin's in right now with my job, I just submitted my religious exemption to federal worker. Hopefully it goes through, but obviously that's extremely frightening.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
We'll pray for you.
You know, the funny thing is the postal workers who touch everybody's mail in the entire country are exempt. So they can spread everything everywhere and nobody cares because they have a strong union.
And they go door to door.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly right. Oh, you know, I enjoy. And, you know, this is hard for Christiana and I because I'm a contractor. I was on the Afghanistan program, by the way, and then that fell apart. Now I'm with another program. So we're in that boat where it's unconstitutional, but nobody cares. I talked to one of my bosses, and I said, hey, this doesn't make any sense. You can't ask me all these questions about my religious beliefs. They're my beliefs, and you're going against the Constitution. Well, we're following rules. I said, well, I'm tired of this. This has nothing to do with us. There should be no question. If I say that I worship goats, that should be good enough for you. That's why I don't want the vaccine, and because that's how the Constitution is written. So, by the way, my book about the Constitution is coming out maybe next year, 2022, and it talks about stuff like this. I'm tired of doing everything I've done for 30 years, defending this country, and then all this fall apart in 2021. This is unacceptable. We can't live like this. And the patriots are getting less and less because people are just like, all right, I'm going to go get it. How many of you have seen people get the shot and they turn into advertisements for Fauci? Isn't it amazing? They cover their face when you come by. Hey, you're vaccinated. Why should you cover your face? Why are you a fanatic about, okay, just like I told my guy today, I said, so accommodations is I have to wear a mask. I said, what, you know, I think it's impossible for any physical object to not carry this virus with them. So it doesn't make any sense. He's like, oh, yeah, you're right. Of course it doesn't make any sense. This is all made up. And I heard that in another program that they made up the 10. It was 10 feet before it was 6, and it was 3. And they said, well, they don't buy the 10. Let's make it 6. It was made up. There's no science behind it at all.
I heard that.
Yes. Yes.
Well, you know, I feel a little bit isolated being in Florida. I have not worn a mask in months.
Okay, good.
And it's like a little bit, I find it to be a little different here than what I hear other people talk about in other states.
Yes, I was a little bit, the snowbirds start to come back. You can see them. You can see them with their masks on. They come from New York and Massachusetts and Canada, and they got their masks on, and they're walking around. So the Floridians aren't doing it.
Their car is my favorite.
Well,
I see husbands and wives that live in the same house in the car with masks on. They'll go to church, and they'll be there with the mask on the entire time in their car. So these are things that like that blow my mind. I'm like, wait a minute, they should all be lined up and arrested and re-educated or something. I don't know. I think this makes any sense.
Live and let live. You know, I'm like, my whole thing about the vaccination is don't tell me what to do. If you want to get it, get it.
Exactly. You have the right to die.
Right. check the races or whatever.
Yeah.
What happened to them?
That doesn't apply. Without saying too much, I'm just going to add a little personal vaccine story. I work for a company that does do some work with the federal government. And I had it's based out of New York, and I did get a vaccine request to submit. And I was, as of Friday, I was told that aside from religious or medical, I would be, after 12 years of working the company, that I may be forced to be let go. I kind of resisted a little bit today. I got something. They agreed. They said, since you don't work in the office, any of our offices, and you work from home, and as long as you don't go to the offices, which is great, and you're not doing business with the federal government, because we do a lot of business with the federal government, I'm not going to say what business, I got a variant. So I hope this isn't broadcast into my office, and I don't get in trouble for this.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I work from home too, but it doesn't matter because they don't care.
And the fact that you had COVID, that you had three.
Yeah, I never even told them I had COVID. I told them, I didn't say I had COVID. I didn't say I had antibodies, which I did and I do. I said, I do not have a vaccine card. That was my answer. I do not have the vaccine card to send you.
And I refused to get one. I didn't see the doctor about it, so I don't care. It's none of their business. We don't need to know anything. You want to show your medical records? Let me hear the whole folder. I mean, what do they want?
No,
that's going to be next.
Had a contractor, a recruiter, who asked me
if I was vaccinated. It's just, I haven't spoken to her. I don't think they asked me. You know what? Let me know if you want to sign a
HIPAA form. And I have an agent. Can I ask Michael a question?
Can I ask Michael a question
for Lexi? Yeah, my boss. They're not asking. My boss says
yes.
People are trying to put it on their resume.
Second.
Because they figure it's going to get through faster. And it
does. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead and ask Michael.
Okay, I kind of lost my picture, but you can still hear me. My question is basically from a Blexit perspective, from a Black community perspective. What do you think? Does the Black community like BLM, or do they find BLM to be corrupt and Marxist and maybe a lot of the things that I might think. I won't speak for anybody else.
That's a good question. I can't speak for the entire Black community. I can speak for Columbus and the people I've interacted with. I have a good foundation in Columbus, and I know a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds. I would say for the most part, they do support the messaging of BLM. I wouldn't say they support, nobody supports the organization. Statistically, but there is a rise of consciousness, and people are seeing what the organization is for. Specifically, last year, how much money they raised, seeing the conditions that people live in. So, I would say that there's a rise of consciousness, but a lot of people do support the movement still.
You think they've lost support?
They've definitely lost support.
Good.
I totally agree. People are more in love with the idea than they are the actual thugs in the streets. That's what
nobody,
I always say.
Nobody would argue with the three words. You know, it's the organization behind the three words that's kind of
exactly. And they'll still wear the mask and everything, and the face covering, Black Lives Matter, which. I mean, what it represents is not what you. I mean, you know what I'm talking about.
And to piggyback on that, it has become kind of commercialized, commoditized.
Mm-hmm.
People are selling it to an extent, so people are buying into it. It's become something way deeper than just the movement and the organization, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the biggest supporters are corporate America. The Jews support them. The liberal Jews, the left supports them. I've seen BLM flags on my niece's lawn, you know, a Jewish 30-year-old girl, and she's not the only one. She's just left, and she's got the banner and the flag.
Anything selfish justice, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't dare to fight back. They don't dare to fight. You know, it's like
It's like virtue signaling to the 10th degree. I don't understand it.
Right.
They want sex with their identity and their purpose.
I totally agree.
And by the way, I'm talking more than I thought it was. There's a lot of Jewish groups that we do not like. I mean, the list is long of Jewish groups that we strongly object to.
Please name a Jewish group.
I don't like to advertise for them. I don't like to advertise for them.
You got anything to say? Oh, go ahead.
That was up.
So nice meeting everyone.
Yes. I was going to say, let's say goodbye. If you have anything to say, go right ahead. If you got any issues or things, because I appreciate everybody for being here tonight. It's been awesome. I learned so much, and we're all working together. Do that. So, yeah, go ahead if anybody has anything to say. Michael, you're up on the screen.
I just wanted to thank everybody for starting this hour with me, giving knowledge and listening to Kevin and just doing this great work that you guys are doing in Florida. I've just moved from Florida, and I know what's going on.
Oh,
it's a lot of great things happening. Moving that space in the right direction. But I just wanted to thank everybody for showing face and participating.
Stay safe in Ohio.
Yes. Thank you.
Collaborate on and work together, that's the best form of activism is uniting.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. That's a good thing to know. I'm writing that down. So collaboration.
I think it's good for all of our communities to know that we support each other and they work together. I think it's very important also. Because I don't think a lot of people on the other side get that. They try to divide.
Yeah, that's right. Like Michelle said earlier, we're better together than we are apart. Let's do that. Let's make it happen. And I haven't seen you since, February, April. It was nice meeting you. We have the best people in the world working on these things, so I have a lot of faith in it. So I appreciate everybody for coming on here. Thanks for bringing people with you. That's awesome. So I will end the radio show, and we're going to broadcast this probably tomorrow or sometime. And then I'm having a show on Wednesday, The Jew and the Negro. It's a friend of mine that's going to talk about finances. So just advertise a little bit. So thank you so much. You guys have a nice evening. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. So thank you for calling in. I appreciate that.
Oh, I got to hang up my phone. Okay. Thank you. Bye, Kevin.
Oh, no, you're good. Thanks. All right. Bye.